This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
James Acaster on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, listeners. No, this is not James Acaster. It is the bald and wonderful Merrick Larwood. You may recognise me as someone who looks like they may have been in a car accident. Welcome to the iPod Shuffle Show, where we'll be playing songs at random from our iPod. It's going to be good fun. So, without further ado, let's listen to the blooming first one. Wowee, that was Bin It by the Cardigans. And here's something I wouldn't like to bin. It's my studio guest for today. It's everyone's fifth or sixth favourite comedian, Josh Howie. Welcome, Josh.
Hello, Merrick.
Are you nervous about anything on your iPod today that might come up and embarrass you?
Well, as you know, I've got a couple of kids, so there may be some songs that they're into.
Hang on a minute. I know full well you've got three children.
Yeah, that's a couple. No, okay. I've got a few kids.
All right. How many kids have you legitimately got? Have you fathered?
Legitimately, yeah. Three. That's that I claim as my own, legally.
I mean, I don't want to get into this unless you want to. Do you think you may have spawned other Howies out there?
Well, I might be. Occasionally, you look at ex-girlfriends' like profiles on Facebook, and you sort of, there might be like a dark, you know, you look at their kids. And you sort of go, you try and work out the timings and stuff.
Are you serious?
Occasionally.
You go up, you look up ex-girlfriends on Facebook.
Well,
to see,
I mean, you're,
if,
you're, I mean, you're looking.
Fathered your children.
No, you're not. No, that's not. You're looking up because you're going to have a wank, but then you notice they've got a kid.
Oh, my word.
And, you know, and then you're like, oh, well, that's interesting. Their kid looks a bit, oh, he's got brown hair. Where do you get that? That's interesting.
Don't you think that your ex-girlfriends may have got in touch with you if you, they did suspect you were the father of their child, or do you think they?
No, I think they would definitely want to not to know, because they can't get any money from me because I'm skin, mm-hmm. And they probably just don't want my involvement.
Well, this is just the beginning of the dark story of Josh Howie. I mean, this is a pretty bleak start to a show. James Acaster, if you're missing his dulcet tones, is in Australia or New Zealand or somewhere.
Just being successful, isn't he?
He's performing. He's having
performing,
fun.
He's a very successful comedian.
So you just have to listen to two bald men in a room who may have spawned more children than they realise.
Balding? Can I have balding rather than bald? Do you
You've,
mind?
I don't really. When did you first start going bald, Josh?
Let's make this the bald hour. I think this should be all about bald, because I don't think we're covered enough. You know, we don't get enough exposure, and that's not meant to be a joke. But
what annoys me is that baldness is meant to be something wrong with it.
Yeah, it's never been a positive trait ever.
I haven't got a problem. I never had a problem with it, but
I have
adverts,
a problem with it.
Do you?
Yeah, I was taking like bald pills for years and all of that. I've been doing everything. I was about 25 when it started receding. And it's so annoying when people say, oh, you know, when it's tried, they try to dismiss it. Like, oh, it's no big deal. Usually women who don't understand, like, my wife is like, I love you anyway. But it's like, no, that's not enough. Your love is not enough to fill the hole.
It's just the first part of the show. You, your ex-girlfriends may have fathered children, but they don't want anything to do with you. And your wife's love is not enough for you to go.
If there was a genuine, okay, of course I'm very grateful for my wife's love, but I would say my hair would come a close second to that. My wife's love, definitely, I'm like, brilliant, thank you Lord for that, but I would really like my hair back as well.
You would prefer to have your hair above the love of your children?
Oh no, okay, let's put it like that. Okay, so we'll go, I'll tell you what, it'll be like my wife's love, then my children's love, all like at the same time, then my hair, and then my parents' love underneath that. Like, I'm fine not having their love. I would definitely rather have my hair than my parents' love. Absolutely. And because that's negligible anyway.
I don't know what sort of monster I've unleashed upon the billions of FUBAR listeners today.
What so would you do for your hair? What would you? I mean, you really don't care about your hair, but your lack of hair is part of your thing, isn't it?
How can you say that? Because I knew myself before you. I knew myself with hair.
But you probably look funnier. Like, it works with your look. Like, to have no hair, it just exposes your face.
What do you
more.
Mean, look?
Well, you know, your funny look.
Right. Let's just get back to this ball. I want to get back to the bald pills. You took bald pills.
I took bald pills.
What are bald pills?
Well, I've done many things, but there's bald like liquid that you can just sort of put on before you go to sleep on where the hair is leaving you.
And what's
you.
It made out of?
Children's tears, something, I don't know.
Bald liquid.
There's some liquid, Rogaine. And it's expensive, that's the thing. They really get you. They know that it's vanity and they charge you like crazy money for it. It's like 40 quid a month. which was a lot for me when I was 25. But that's a lot. No, it was more than 40
and
quid.
And did it work, this
I think the idea was that some people it regrowed it back, but most people it would just maintain. So I wanted to maintain. Then I found out about these pills that you could take, and they were quite expensive. They were like 100 quid every...
For
one big pill. For like a day pill. But I had to stop taking them because the main side effect is that if you have a child, that child will be an hermaphrodite.
Wow.
Yeah. So you cannot be doing that if you're going to be having, like, trying to have a kid, which could be why these ex-girlfriends have kept their children away with their hermaphrodite children. That's what I'm looking to see, if their children look particularly sexless.
I'm not saying that hermaphrodite is a bad thing, but if you have got both sets of sexual organs and your father...
Is bald.
You need to ask him some questions and you may be... Could you sue your dad?
Absolutely. I think you could.
Can you actually sue parents if they do things that they know are going to cause you to grow an extra penis or something?
You tell me, Mr. Extra Penis.
I mean, surely that would put
Mr.
you
third
off.
Nipple.
This would put you off taking the pill.
If you just think, in case.
Yeah, if it says your kid's going to grow, you know, both sexual organs, it can't be good for you.
No, it can't. But the. No, it's just it's fine for you. It's just not good for the kid. As long as you're not going to try and get someone pregnant, what's the problem?
It must be doing something if it's making your sperm turn
weird.
Yeah,
yeah. What it's doing, so that's what it does. That's the main side effect. It's like this 1 or 5% chance that a kid could be an hermaphrodite.
And how hairy is that kid? I want to find out how hairy the children of bald pill takers are.
It's a problem. So I had to stop taking it when we were started to try. Because you also have to stop taking it about 6 months before, because it stays like in your semen, the pills. Sorry, I don't like saying semen on there. But
not very nice. So these kids that you may have fathered, are you looking at them up on Facebook? Because they might be unnaturally hairy and be able to sue you for your bald pill taking.
Well, I hadn't really put it all together, but I don't want this episode to be used as evidence for me in the future. So let me just say I deny everything and had no idea there would be a side effect.
Well, listeners, if you think Josh should be imprisoned, why don't you tweet into FUBAR Radio? I think that's a tweet, and then we'll probably ignore your tweets. Good. So what else have you been up to? As usual, people who come on shows only come on to publicise something, so you might as well get that plug out of the way
that's not true. I've done a few, I've done Mark's show on here and whatever, and this is the first show that I've, because people get me on because we're friends in real life, but this is the first show I've actually had something to publicise. I've never had that before. This is like, I'm excited. Normally I'm just like, oh, please, go on Facebook and, have a look at my ex-girlfriend's and stuff, but now I've got like a reason for people to should I say the thing?
Just tell me the bloody reason.
Alright, I've got my show at the Soho Theatre next week, please come. That's it. Okay, that's it.
What's
it called?
That's all right.
Okay, it's called AIDS, a Survivor's Story.
What?
AIDS, a Survivor's Story.
And AIDS, a Survivor's Story.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a bit about it?
Well, it's about bald pills.
Is it really?
No. It's about AIDS. So I thought it would be really funny, like January last year, I thought, what should I write a show about this year? And I thought, why don't I write a funny hour about AIDS?
And you're pretending to be a survivor of AIDS?
Well, I don't want to give the ending away. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not a survivor. Like, I'm not pretending. I thought I had AIDS, or think I have AIDS, but more thought.
Do you dress as though, or make yourself up as though you might be ill? I'm not saying... I don't want to get in trouble here.
Well, if you were up to date with your AIDS information, there is actually nothing. Now you're taking a pill a day and you have a normal life expectancy.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's not good to have AIDS, but the point is it's the same difference as whatever else.
Yeah, stop moaning about it.
Well, I wouldn't say you don't have to moan about it, but let's move on.
Right, don't moan about it so much.
I don't know if there is so much moaning. I don't know how many AIDS people who are constantly moaning about it.
Well, I don't know. Why aren't you tweeting to Free Bar?
Do AIDS people moan about their AIDS?
Let's just move on. All right, if you've got your ill, you're entitled to moan about it. People moan about cold still.
Well, we've been moaning about the baldness thing.
I haven't got a problem with
you.
You've
really
bald.
Got no problem with how you look. I mean, on the not. I mean,
there is this question, isn't it? I think you, if you look a bit odd, which people tell me that I do, then you, as you get older, you've got a lot less to lose. Same with going bald.
Yeah,
age is the great equaliser.
It is, but I am quite handsome. Or was quite handsome, and that's why the vanity element.
Who told you you were handsome?
All like women.
All women.
Some women have told me I used to be good looking. I was good looking bloke back in the day.
And how has that changed?
Well, as you can see what's in front of you.
I think you've got a lovely face.
Well, that's kind of you, but people just kind of see the glasses and the balding and the beard and now it's sort of.
Are you sure it's not a personality thing?
There's that as well. I'm not going to deny that. I've definitely become more unattractive as a human being as I've got older as well.
But surely, normally it's supposed to work the other way around, where you become more
self-aware. And
yes, you become more selfish then, would you say?
My tolerance for humanity has gone down a little bit.
Well, this sounds like we're going to
Let's move out. Let's get away from that. Let's get back to the AIDS.
Well, we're going to play a song from your...
Yeah, cool. I think it's exciting. I'm really excited about this. What a brilliant concept. Don't you think?
It's not mine. It's James Acaster's.
What, he came up with it?
I don't know if he did.
He's inventive enough.
So
but there we go. Passing over the baton of... This is the I just want to point out that I've got the iPhone 6. Things going well.
iPhone 6.
Yes, here we go. Shuffle. Ready? Do we talk about it afterwards?
Yeah, we'll talk about it afterwards. Just shuffle. Tell us what it is. You can tell us what it is.
I can tell us what it is. So I'm going to press shuffle and then press pause. I'll press
okay.
I'm going to press shuffle. Then we're going to see. Oh my God! Wow!
You shuffled the Beastie Boy. Is that the Beastie Boy Sabotage?
Mate, I swear that was a shuffle. You saw me do it. I didn't do anything. That was amazing. Here we go.
Next time, I want to see. You've lucked out there. People think you are a lot cooler than you are.
Oh my God! This is the best thing ever. Okay, here we go. Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Play.
Okay.
Bingo, bango. Josh, I've started saying things like that. It's really good fun.
Oh yeah, you're brilliant at that.
Josh Howie is locked out with Beastie Boys Sabotage. Big fan of the Beastie Boys, Josh?
Massive, massive, massive fan. That album, Ill Communication, was in back like going old school. It was in my tape player for on the way to school. Like that's all I listened to for about a year, and it's actually sort of why I became a comic in a weird. Little connection way, but also now that
sounds like bullshit.
No, okay, let me tell that story in a second.
Tell the story.
Let me go on a little side note here.
Two stories,
two Beastie Boy stories. Allow me that, right? Number one is that, I do, as you know, I've got to pick up my son at school, Morty. It's a 20 minutes, 2 hours a day of driving, but I've got no musical influence to give them, as we'll hear. Like, that Beastie Boys is like the best. I'm into hip hop, that's about the best band that I'm into, and everything else is crap. But so I've got him into Beastie Boys, which I'm really super super happy about, so that's exciting for me. And I love putting that song on, and I've got the kids all in the back, and I'm just like, I feel like really cool in North London, Crouch End, driving around. And the other one is, yeah, basically what happened was, my mate, I used to work in music videos, and
nice.
Did you know that about me?
Yes,
I used to produce music videos, and one of the directors, Evan Bernard, was mates with the Beastie Boys. He used to be their juice bitch, which is where he went on tour with them.
Juice bitch?
Yeah, he would go around, he'd make their juices, their smoothies and stuff.
Oh, suddenly they're not so cool now, are they?
Well, this is in there when they started getting a bit more healthy and, you know, like women are nice and stuff.
They had someone
on tour with them who was their juice bitch, who would just make their juices.
All he's got to do is put fruit in a mixer.
Whatever, he's part of their entourage. He's their mate.
That
was his job. That was his main job. And to be a cool dude. He's a cool dude. That's what he is. Evan is just a cool guy.
Yeah, but you say to him, you think, what do you do? I mix juice.
Yeah, well, that's not
Boys.
His job now. Now he's a director. But back then, that was what his job was. He was a juice bitch, right?
And they called him juice bitch.
Well, he did one of their music videos, and he gets a name check in one of their songs, right?
What they call him? Evan the juice bitch?
They called him Evan Bernard, but anyway, one of the songs is like an El Camino goes, no one shoots hoops like Evan Bernard. Anyway, Adam Bloom, who we know, mutual good friend of
Adam
ours.
Adam Bloom, for many of the people who don't know,
is a very fine comedian.
He's
who
another bald comic. That's all we're talking about today.
They were only dealing with bald comics. And Adam knows his hip hop and knows every lyric of every song ever. And when I was hanging out with Evan once, and we were up in Edinburgh for the film festival. Evan was like, let's go and check out the comedy festival, which I didn't even know existed.
A lot of name dropping.
All right. So we went over to the comedy festival, and he had seen Adam Bloom somewhere. Like, he said, oh, this guy's really funny. And Adam was like bit drunk, and we were not, and we was like, oh, you're a comic and whatever, and then he says, what's your name? And my friend's like, Evan Bernard. And he goes, what, the Evan Bernard from the Beastie Boys song? And Evan was like, yeah, wow. And like, that's, and then I started hanging out with Adam through that, and then I was like, oh, that look, and then he was just basically not doing much, like,
so to sum it up, one of your mates knew a mate who got into comedy. That is,
you know what, when you
one
put it like
Josh's
that.
One of Josh's mates knew another bloke, and then he said it was a comic, and he thought, I like that, and I started to do it. That's how I would have told it.
That, okay, you're right. That is a better way of telling the story. Yeah, and I'll tell it that way from now on.
Evan Bernard, are you still friends with him?
We're still, yeah. He's Mordy's, my son's godfather.
And is he a good basketball player?
He's a very good basketball player. He lives out in Brooklyn, as you might imagine.
And that's what everyone in Brooklyn
is good at basketball.
They only walk around with basketball. Is that true? They walk bouncing basketballs all the time.
It's mandatory, but you have to put them in your bag when you go into Manhattan. You can't like be getting away with that sort of behavior.
I mean, they'd be all over the road.
That's what I'm saying. It's dangerous. It's a health hazard, really. So, but yeah. So anyway, that's my story of how I became into comedy.
I listened to the Beastie Boys. But we're the same age.
And right? Now we've got to hear your Beastie Boys story.
No, I used to listen to them in Cypress Hill. Everyone listened to. And the Goats.
Oh, you listen to the Goats?
Yeah, man.
Oh my! All right, that's on here. I really hope
Maybe.
The Goats come up.
Only fate will decide.
Well, you know what? The Goats, and anybody who's like into their 90s hip hop, if you weren't. Just check out the Goats. It's like a seminal album. And they came over to London, and then Ben Norris, who's another comic, but unfortunately he's got lots of hair.
I can't talk about him.
He was at the same gig that I was at when I was 17 years old, and then we went to see recently Farside together, like a mandate. It was brilliant. Like,
what do you mean mandate?
Well, like men going out on a date.
Mandate, as it so happens, as we are just doing segue to segue. Mandate is the very first aftershave I received when I was approximately 12 years old. In my Christmas stocking, you might remember the Mandate adverts, really cheap aftershave.
Is this just my
wore
white
that.
Thing?
I made it last for approximately 4 years. How many girls did I get off in that period? Zero.
So when was the first girl that you kissed? How old were you?
Probably. It wasn't until I was like 15, 16, actually, yeah.
Really? Okay, and that was when the Mandate
That's
ran
a proper,
out?
A proper Frenchie. Nowadays, the kids are absolutely banging each other from, I don't know.
What, straight 13?
Well, I assume it's pretty early. I don't know. Let's not go down
but
that.
But 16 was the
part.
First girl you kissed?
I think, well, maybe it's 15, the snogged, yeah. Okay. It's really late, isn't it?
No, the first girl I kissed was 16.
Good. Was it a good one?
Yeah. I'll give you her Facebook address.
Oh, so it went further than kissing?
Yes, it did. Straight into the full...
Through all bases in one night.
Straight into it, yeah.
Wow.
I know, it's crazy.
You must have been petrified.
That's one word.
Okay. Do you want to think of some other words then?
I don't want to... I don't know what exactly we're allowed to say.
Well, let's just move on.
Sexually, let's move on,
I mean,
from my first
this podcast, so, sort of radio show, I don't even know what it is. It's a radio show that turns into a podcast.
The podcast, though, is more successful than the radio show.
I can't say anything. I don't know.
You don't know the numbers.
Millions of people.
Millions.
The word has got round that Josh Howie's on this radio show, and then do you people think through London. If you imagine a map of the UK, and everyone listening is a little light, and suddenly there's one light. And then they're all. It's
they're,
glowing.
They're glowing. But do you think that anybody's listening?
You're going
to
burst a network, Josh.
Do you think that it's going to get more or less listeners on the podcast because James isn't here? Like, they're going to download it, and then it's going to be like, oh, hello, James isn't here this week, and then... Psh, oh,
I don't care. I mean, if I was listening to this, but I think, do you know what? Stop
caring about
just
be funny. Why can't you just be funny?
You don't have to be funny. You just have to talk about something. Educate me on something rather than just bland nonsense I hear every day. I'm going to puke up in my own mouth if I can't listen to this shit. That's what they might be thinking.
Yeah, but tweet us if you think that.
So what else have you been up to apart from... I normally see Josh on Wednesdays, because Wednesday is the day when you have to look after all three of your children.
Yeah, I call it Black Wednesday.
Why, do you black up your kids?
There's no need.
Why not?
Because they're black.
You've got... Three black children.
Three other black children you didn't know about. But check out Facebook.
So Wednesday.
Wednesday, yes. We see each other. That is the day that my wife has gone back to work. So I am at pains to sort of waste time on the Wednesday to get through to 6 o'clock. From when she leaves in the morning until 6 o'clock, I'm literally counting the minutes away. And that's when I always text you and say, Marek, please can we meet up?
And
because I can't bear any more time alone with these.
I've realised what it is. It's not saying it's
distraction.
You're making me co-father these children
on a Wednesday. Yeah, you're like my yeah, exactly.
I don't want to.
They're cute though, aren't they?
They're all right. Other people's kids. I mean, you can never really like other people's kids.
Really? That's not true.
But when you see other people's kids, and you see them running around, just not coming out and screaming. You just think, do you know what? You're not even really a human being yet, are you?
I would agree with that, but I would have to say that my kids do happen to be particularly cute.
On what grounds?
Just facially. And they're good human beings and stuff. Like, but that's not down to me, of course. That's all
about my wife. What have they done? What have they done?
What have they achieved?
Yeah,
you're right. They need to get out there a little bit more into the world and start contributing.
Say you're on a plane with your three kids.
Okay,
which happened? It's really, really bad. Say you're in a situation when there's one parachute.
Oh, don't give me all that.
Would your kids let you have the parachute first, or would they grab them and jump out the?
I hope that I would raise my kids so that they would just do it themselves. They would just leave me behind straight away. Then I know I've done a good job. I want them to take care of themselves first and then take care of anybody else who's left. Like it says on the plane, you get the mask, you deal with yourself first, and then you deal with your kids. You know, and I want them to... Because I'm a little bit worried that they're a little bit too nice. Certainly the eldest. He's just like a really sweet human being. And he's and
life's going to break him. Life's going to break him hard.
He happens to be very good looking, so he should be all right on that front. But he just needs to be more pushy. And at school, a lot of the kids are a bit pushier, and they get. And he said to me the other day, "Oh, Daddy, I didn't get bread at school today."
What?
Yeah, someone took two pieces of bread, and he didn't get a piece. This is what people want. This is what people want to hear.
Some sort of poor school where you go and people get bread and water.
Well, I said, you should have said to the teacher, but he won't put his like he's just too nice.
Hang on, we need to explain this. I don't understand. Why are they giving out bread at your school?
Because that's what they do. They have lunch at school.
But not a sandwich, it's a slice of bread.
Well, he also gets, like, food, but it didn't the bread roll with the food. He was very upset about, why are we talking about this? I don't know.
I think to make your kid harder, we should give him a tattoo.
Jews are not allowed tattoos, number one.
Why not?
It's against the religion. It's like you're not allowed to mark your body, like your body's sacred, given to you by God. And so
what about transfers?
Transfers, totally cool. I'm all about transfers. And the kids have got them all up their arms. Love a good transfer.
So what, are you allowed to dye your hair?
Yes, you can dye your hair. I used to bleach my hair bald and get lots of looks from Japanese girls on tubes who thought I was attractive.
This attractive thing's a real big issue for you, isn't it?
It is, because it's just I just want people to like not judge me by how I look now.
This is really sad. I feel sorry for you.
That it's important.
Yeah,
well, I don't care that they think I'm attractive now because I'm married and it's over for me. But I would like people to think that I was good-looking back in the day.
Why?
Because I didn't have anything else back then.
But that's not you anymore. You're a new person, Josh.
No. You're evolving.
You've changed from that.
Stop getting deep on me.
Right. Why do you want people to say, there's Josh Howie. He was really good-looking 20 years ago. That surely make you feel worse.
No, because it's at least once I had something. Isn't it better to have loved and lost yourself, loved yourself?
You're applying the wrong quote to completely the wrong thing.
So what about you? How do you feel about your attractiveness?
Don't care.
You just don't care at all?
Well, I don't.
You've always been quite successful with the ladies I've known through the years.
Bingo, bango.
How do you always do that?
Well, it's I've gone on to my next song, which conveniently is called Beds Are Burning by Midnight Oil. Oh, I'm sorry, here it is.
Boring.
Why was that boring?
I don't know, it's just like...
You can't shoot.
Just went on and on, that song. That just would not stop.
I like the main riff of it. That was Beds Are Burning by Midnight Oil. It was famous in, was it the 80s?
The 80s, yeah.
It was, they wrote it about giving the land back to...
caused a big hoo-ha, Aborigines.
Caused those Aborigines. And I think he went on to go into the Australian Parliament or something.
Aborigines, what's his position?
I don't know, but if you want to look that up, I'm sure you can find it on Wikipedia.
Very good.
That's all you can say to anything now. You just go look it up on Wikipedia.
Yeah, exactly. Just look it up. You know, I've...
Get to the point.
All right, my dad, who's Australian,
all right,
married an Aborigine woman. Sorry, no, my dad's brother married an Aborigine woman.
This is how you make it sound like a complete lie. You don't even know who your dad married.
No, my dad, I think he married my mum. He's been married a few times, actually, but let's not go into that now.
Right, so your dad's
brother married an Aborigine lady. Mm-hmm. So all my cousins are Aborigine. And occasionally, half, whatever, but they come over and they visit, and then I get to, like, when I'm hanging out with them, and I go, oh, this is my cousin. But they're black, so it makes me feel cool.
That is a very interesting story. And what are the names?
There are many of them.
What are the names?
Luke, Adam, Samantha. There's about six or seven of them. A lot of them went into the Australian Navy and worked in the submarines.
They don't really sound like Aborigine names.
Well, they're half...
Luke, Adam and Samantha.
Aborigines have normal names. They're not all...
are their middle names?
I don't know.
And they all went into submarines, did they?
Some of them went
into... All of them went into submarines.
A couple of them went into submarines. What they got. One of them went in, and that's how it works.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm just saying, I feel connected to that song. But I've always had a real sort of soft spot for the whole Aboriginal cause. And when we go to Australia, we were with Aborigines, and we'd be like, and there was a song like, "I'm proud to be an Aborigine," and we'd all sort of sing that.
You can see why they chose that Midnight Oil one instead of "They're Proud to Be an Aborigine." Incidentally, my dad's brother married an Eskimo woman, all went into the hot air balloon industry. What a strange show this has been. What else have you been up to then, Josh? Anything exciting?
Why have you got to turn it back on me?
Because you're the guest. I'm supposed to be the host. The host is asking the questions.
Well,
he's
the thing
you
is, you're putting
home.
Me on the spot, and you know that my life is just as boring as your life. So what? I don't understand why. What, you know, I've done nothing. Like, I see you every week. So
I maybe see you.
What do we do? We meet up and
weeks.
We complain about how we're doing nothing. So you know I've got nothing to say. So it's not fair. You're making me sound like a loser by going, "Oh, Josh, what you been up to?" Knowing full well that I've got nothing I can say. Oh, I've done nothing.
Very defensive.
Yeah, because it's deliberate, passive-aggressive, classic Marek.
Bully. A natural bully. Here we have a bully in his ideal environment. He has his guest enclosed in a room.
He's running the desk.
Under the spotlight. He's asking his questions. You've exposed yourself quite a lot on the radio. So we talked about sport earlier. I'm going to use this opportunity.
There we go. Let's plug your stuff, okay?
Well, it's not plugging. It's you don't like sport at all, do you?
No, I don't like sport. I don't like people who like sport.
Why not?
Because I like comic books and I like films. And if people who talk about sport tend to just focus on sport issues. Like, as a way to not talk about their feelings and stuff.
How would you know that unless you knew people who like sport?
Well, I do. Every time I'm in a green room or something and it's comics talking about football, it's just that's all they ever talk about.
Now, here's my point, is that in order to live a normal life and not have to speak to people, i.e. taxi drivers is a prime example.
Okay.
You get in a taxi and you think, oh, God, this dickhead's going to bang on about stuff the whole way through. I don't want to tell him anything about me.
Yeah.
The safest subject is football.
Okay, and you know what?
So surely you should have picked
but
up.
But I ask him like what their favourite comic books are and stuff. And that, no. Do you know what it is? That's, but you know what? That is classic you, because you don't like to talk about yourself. Like, you never reveal too much of yourself. So you're always trying to keep people at a distance. I don't mind getting in a taxi cab.
Why
are
you trying to psychoanalyze me when I'm blimmin' hosting the bloody show?
Yeah, well, we talked there. I was trying to talk about your ex-girlfriends. You never reveal anything of
don't have to.
Truth. To what, you know, why
well,
don't
well, I'm not going to start right now. Back to the point you made. So comic books.
Yeah.
I'm listening to the radio show. I've never really got into the comic book genre. And if you're going to recommend some sort of starter books for people, they might enjoy some graphic novels.
Yes.
And I think the I quite like comic books or graphic novels. It's changed quite a lot in the last 10 or 20 years, hasn't
it? Sure has, because everyone's got older, so it's been... And the people who write comics are now like in their 40s themselves, writing for 40-year-olds, for pathetic 40-year-olds.
But there's some brilliant ones, like Mouse is the famous one.
Mouse, yeah, but that's more like graphic novel arty stuff about the that one's particularly, you know, about the Holocaust stuff. No, but I'm talking like the superhero comics have sort of been moved up to a different level. I'm not talking like arty, sort of graphic novel-y, whatever.
Oh, and you, can you use this section to, can you recommend some superhero comics for young listeners who don't like reading novels because they haven't got the mental capacity to take on too many words?
Yes,
they like the combination
like
of pictures,
the pictures
and words.
Like the pictures. Well, there's Walking Dead. Like people would know that from the TV series. The original series.
I have read those. I read about 14, 15 of those.
Yeah,
and it gets so repetitive.
What, the too many zombies turning?
Well, it's just they're moving to a different. They just move to a different camp. A load of them get killed. Some new people arrive. They move to a different camp. A load of people get killed. New people
That's
arrive.
That's not true. They go to a prison. Then they go to the town.
Slightly different
things
places.
Happen. Different things happen, mate.
Zombies. They move to a different area. Zombies kill a few of them, and new people arrive. They don't get on with those people, then they get on with them. They move to a different area. I've saved you a lot. I've saved you approximately £150 worth of graphic novel.
Well, there might be something in the fact that people like repetition. They want they don't want anything too new. Like once they've assessed something, and this is in any art form, they just want the same thing. Once they like it, they just want it over and over.
Are you sure?
Yes, because like in terms of comics or music or whatever it is, people do something, they do something original, and then people go, oh, I like that, and then they just want to hear that again and again, but variations of a theme.
I think this is very worrying. I think we can move on to TV, to the way television has all been turned into a competition.
In terms of reality TV?
In terms of how I think reality TV has spread, the sort of X Factor competition element and spread into the Bake Off. And you've got the sewing bee, you've got the art bit. There's always just someone has
it's
to be eliminated.
Yeah.
These other parties judging what's good. I think Simon Cowell is one of the most poisonous forces in the media and should be destroyed.
Okay, well, that's good as he buys FUBAR Radio. And,
he doesn't.
You know what, I love X Factor. I watch every episode.
Why?
Because it's like the McDonald's of television.
Well, because
sometimes you just want to just have something to easily digest.
Because you know it's just, it gives you the whole the arc of how every superhero film's the same. Every TV program's the same. Here's this bit coming up. We're gonna, you know they're going to go through the same pattern of being judged and someone's going to get eliminated and that's it. It really worries me.
This is what you focus on.
Well, it's breaking things down. It's oversimplifying life, and it's the same thing. Everything in this modern world. And I'm going off on one.
Oh my god! I've never heard you so political.
It's all so everything's oversimplified. It's all such black and white. Everything, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah,
crazy enough that I'm going to get your iPod in a second and pick another song.
What a great link.
You need to plug it in
and then I'll do the thing. Now you're going to check this time that I press it. That I'm doing it authentically, that I'm not going to mess you around. Right, ready? Here we go. Shuffle. Pressing shuffle.
You've shuffled it again.
Press
And you have to press play.
And then I have to press play. Okay, here we go.
James Acaster on FUBAR Radio.
It is not James Acaster. He's not got back. It's still Marek Larwood. And hopefully all you billions of people are still listening. I'm here with guest comedian and almost human being, Josh Howie. Are you a big Amy Winehouse fan, Josh?
Well, I'm kind of disappointed that song came on. I've never actually heard that song before. It's on my iPod, but I've never heard it.
How did it get there?
Well, the album's on, but I would just forward it through. There's about three songs on the album that I do genuinely like. But I just it's a bit of a cliche, isn't it? It's like one of those albums that you kind of everybody has, and it's become a bit nothing.
What it says to me though, if you didn't like the song that's still on your iPod, personality wise, it makes me think, oh, here's someone who is too lazy to change things that really need changing in their life. As a whole. If we look at you as a whole.
It could be someone who's got three really young children who spends all their time changing nappies and keeping them alive and can just basically put a whole album on rather than going song by song by song.
Hang on, I'm going to pick you up on something there.
Okay.
You said you spend your time keeping your kids alive.
Yes. That's the main bulk of it. And then it's keeping them happy. But the first thing is you keep them alive.
So, and what are the main dangers? Well, the main dangers of having three children?
Heroin.
Heroin number
that's
one.
Why, that's why I don't play any.
It's all your future mothers and fathers. Oh, because of Amy Winehouse,
yeah,
heroin.
It was a callback. The main dangers, just making sure cars, that's all I'm obsessed with, is just teaching them road safety. Like, not to cross the road. Because I saw when I was a couple of years ago before kids, I was riding my bicycle down the road, and then I saw a kid just get knocked out right into the street and get knocked over like 60 feet. Like, well, not 60
really?
Feet. But he just ran into the road. The mum had like a couple of kids, and one of them just ran into the road. A car just went straight into him, and psh, 20 metres. Like, he just, and then.
And
the guy,
he was dead?
No, no. Well, this is it. Then the guy just sort of got out, they picked him up in one motion, took them, and they went straight to the hospital. I went to the police station.
To the where?
To the hospital. What did I say? Hospital.
Hospital.
And I went to the police station and said, look, I just witnessed this. If you need my address or anything, I just want to say the guy wasn't guilty. Like, it was the kid's fault.
That's basically. That stupid kid.
No, I just didn't want this poor guy to get arrested if it got back. Anyway, the policeman very nicely called me up at the end of the day and said, just to let you know, that child is absolutely fine and I just didn't want you worrying about it. What a nice person, hey? So the kid lived happily ever after, and I hope learned a bloody lesson.
Yeah, he always looks twice, doesn't he? I bet. Maybe three times. When I was having my driving lessons on the Isle of Wight, I was stuck in traffic on one side of the road. It's an interesting story.
Yeah, traffic in Isle of Wight.
Yeah,
is there a lot of traffic?
Only in Newport, which is the capital of the Isle of Wight, the centre of the Isle of Wight, where everything, all the action takes place.
Okay,
the only place. You have to drive for your driving test. You have to go around
through Newport. That's really, you can't just get away with it on the other side of the island.
No. And I was stuck in traffic on the other side. These kids were weaving in between traffic, and they ran out in front of a car, and they both got hit, and both went up the bonnet of the car. Horrible.
Oh.
Really put me off driving.
And do you have a driving license now?
I failed my test, and I passed it again when I was 34 years old.
Oh, well, that's.
And I haven't driven since. Oh. I mean, this is all very interesting.
Well, this is the most information I've ever found out about you in 12 years of friendship. This is like I'm like knowing a whole new Marit Lawwood.
Friendship.
Association.
That is an optimistic word. What does friendship mean?
Well, okay, knowing each other for 13 years now. We've been friends for 2 years, don't you think, or something? Two or three years now.
Yeah. What happens is
this is hurtful. This is really
a lot of people move. A lot of people move away. Friendship circles get a lot smaller. You find yourself calling people you never thought you were going to call.
I know it's true. It's funny because we've definitely become friends since you've become less successful. It's like now. It's like now working its way down the list. Who'll still speak to me? Who have I not angered? And that's Josh. And I'm more than happy to be your friend. I've always wanted to be your friend, and I'm now really happy to be in this position.
As I slowly walk down the path into anonymity, I will become a lovers with Josh Howie. It's everyone's eventual fate. And that's what people are scared of. It's not the fact that they were losing their fame. It's the fact that one day they will become lovers of Josh Howie and bear his children, and then become little more than Facebook friends. He occasionally looks up to see how hairy their offspring are. If you've only just tuned in, that was a reference to the excitement that's happened throughout the course of the show.
It's a show of callbacks.
And believe me, it has been very exciting. I'll tell you what is exciting. I am going to talk about this. I've invented a new sport.
Let's just get this out of the way, because this is why we're here, really, isn't it?
Well, I think you should. When you've done something, you should just talk about it relentlessly to everyone, so people find out about it, because otherwise you've got no choice.
Absolutely, and I talk about that in my show at the Soho Theatre, AIDS, A Survivor Story, this week, Tuesday.
Which you can
Saturday.
Book online if you go to Soho Theatre website, blah, 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 blah.
So let's talk Wolfsball. Wolfsball, or do you want to say, did I ruin it for you?
No.
Do you want to say?
I was in the pub last year with some friends, and we talked about...
Not me.
No, well, we talked about how we don't like sports people. At school, I got put off sport because all the kids who play football, a lot of them were dicks.
Absolutely.
And so I started playing basketball because
that was the cool non-dicks.
That was a cool thing.
That was the druggies
thing. And I got really good at basketball.
Mm.
Oh, really good.
Yeah, well, I've played basketball with you.
Well, not very good, though. That was in my younger years. So I invented a new sport, which is a three-a-side sport. There's no three-a-side sports in the world.
And that's amazing because as you get older and your friendship circles become less, you only really have three people
that's
you can play with. It's perfect for losers like us with no friends.
What sport can I make up for someone who's approaching 40, isn't very fit, Yeah. So there's been no contact.
Yeah.
I've made it. So it's 4 3-minute quarters. So it's only 12 minutes long.
It's perfect.
I invented this sport, and it's got a big prism and a stand in the middle with a hoop at the top that spins round. Mm. And I was telling my dad about it, and he who was a failed inventor, and he actually started making it.
Your dad's such a nice guy.
So if you want to find out more about this sport, follow at Wolfsball on Twitter or look up wolfsball.com and buy a T-shirt so you can help me pay for it, because the cost of sparring out of control.
Because his dad charged you, didn't he, in the end?
No, my dad got this.
Or did you pay for the raw materials?
My dad got this stand made, and okay. I said, oh, how much is it? And he said, this Wolfsball stand is going to be £800. I said, well, hold off a second, because I haven't got that money. I've already told the bloke to start making it.
That's out of order. Well, he should just pay for it then.
This is my same father who
has bankrolled you for 30 years.
No, he's done the opposite, if anything. He's a very good man, though. But my mum had arthritis in her hands.
Oh, God, sob story.
This is 6-7 years ago. I mean,
it's gone away now.
Well, she's still got it. Okay. And she used to have to take these pills. Mm-hmm. But rather than doing a half-measured pill, so rather than it being, you know, did she have to cut the pills in half?
Okay.
I didn't really understand that bit. I just thought, why did they not make a smaller dosage?
Absolutely, of course.
But she had to cut them in half. Yeah. And she'd do that with a knife. Mm. And it would go. And when you try and cut.
But she's got arthritis.
Well, yeah, this is part of the problem. She'd try to cut the pill and it would go everywhere. I mean, a lot of the time, if you try and cut a pill with a knife, you're going to lose at least half of that pill.
Yeah.
And if you add that up over years and years and years, you're talking pounds, £10, yeah, but you add, tens and twenties of pounds.
But adding the arthritis to it,
okay,
that
let
is
me tell,
so unfair.
Let me tell the story. So
okay,
she's
that's really
she's
funny.
Trying to cut these pills, and my dad says, if only there was a machine, a machine that sliced pills and retained both half of the pills.
Brilliant.
Okay, so he realised you could get these pill cutters, which are just, it's almost like a plastic.
Like a cigar
sort of,
cutter, like a cigar?
A little bit. It's got a tiny blade in it, and it's a plastic, and you just, and there's a little fixed bit where you can put your pill so it sits there happily.
Okay.
You just
and
move
what does
it down.
Cost, like £800 to make?
No, they didn't cost that much. They didn't cost that much? They don't cost that much. Anyway, he decided there was nowhere in the UK selling these pill cutters.
Okay.
He had to get one from abroad, so he thought, here is a gap in the market.
Oh yeah.
There must be billions of people trying to cut pills with a knife and losing half of that pill. There is millions to be made.
Yeah.
So my dad
decided, Dragon's Den.
No, he thought, I'm going to order some. I'm going to get some made in China and I'm going to order some. Yeah. Do you know how many he ordered from China?
1,000.
20,000. 20,000 pill cutters.
This is 8 years ago.
Yeah, so these pill cutters come over on the boat and they arrive. And all you've got, all these people had to do in this Chinese factory.
It's a true story.
Okay. Yeah. All these people had to do in this factory is to insert a blade into a bit of plastic.
Yeah.
They put all the blades in the wrong way around. I mean, how mental do you have to be? It's a razor blade. There's one sharp bit and the other bit's not sharp. So he went, hang on a minute. There's 20,000 pill cutters and they put the blade in the wrong way. I have to send those back. So he sent them back on the long voyage, about a month of voyage back to
all the while, China. Your mum is losing half pills left, right, and centre.
There's pills going everywhere.
Millions of pounds,
but not only that. But in the period that they took the ship, the freight ship, what it was called, to go back to China, companies like Boots, Superdrug, they all started selling pill cutters.
Did they really?
Yeah. So they all came on the market. A month later, the pill cutters came back. My dad thinks, right, I am going to hit
I'm
the
primed,
market.
I'm primed.
I'm going to put.
I'm going to hit this saturated market like nobody's seen.
An advert in the Daily Mail. That's the old people.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he put an advert in the Daily Mail, the most expensive paper to advertise in.
Is it?
God. Do you know how much he put his advert cost him
how
in
much?
That? £5,000.
Oh, my. How much were the pill cutters? The 20,000? How much did he get for per unit?
I don't know what was per unit, but guess how many sold from that £5,000 advert?
I'm going to say 20. The same number of listeners to this show.
He sold 35.
35! Double the listenership.
At about £2 each. So it's probably about 4,900. And we're talking about a £4,930 loss. And our house, basically, on the Isle of Wight, which my dad had to sell because we didn't make enough money. All the spare rooms were just full. Oh, you can't go in. The spare room.
Guys, are we giving your room up?
To box the pill cutters. My brother's house has had pill cutters in the garage, in the loft. Every space is just pill cutters. He even gave me some boxes in London.
Christmas.
I found just like tons of these green pill cutters. And eventually,
but with the blades the right way around.
The blades
now.
The right way around now. Yeah. I mean,
they work perfectly, do they?
Yeah. I mean,
it almost makes me want to get a disease. Like, if only I'd known with the hair pills.
Well, he has got. If you want to buy one of these,
is he still selling them?
Yeah, he's still selling them.
He's not giving up the dream.
I think he's sold about 5,000, quite a few. Yeah. No, not that many. He's got a website called. His website's called Dr. Foster's PPC.
Okay.
And it's a terrible name for a website. I told him this. It just sounds. Why have you called it Dr. Foster's? And it PPC. PPC
sounds
like perfect pill cutters.
Oh my god!
Also, PPC is apparently a spam term, so it comes up as spam.
And is he a doctor?
No, he's not a doctor. He doesn't even know why he called it Dr. Foster.
So much is being revealed about your life.
And he's also invented hanging baskets as well, which he got patented in Loughborough. These beautiful hanging baskets. Go to Dr. Foster's PPC, you'll see my dad's amazing products, and you can buy...
So, pill cutters and hanging baskets. Yeah. This is what he's known for.
Even though the hanging baskets are better than the pill cutters,
Does he put the pill cutters in the hand basket?
Hanging baskets. No.
Because that would be, kill two birds with one stone.
These are not normal hanging baskets, Josh.
Oh, what do they do?
These are clicked together, three-tiered system.
Okay.
A normal hanging basket, the flowers just come out the top, or they've got wire mesh.
Okay.
This, you can have a ball of flowers.
And your dad invented this?
He got it painted at Loughborough University, and he gets these shipped over from China as well.
Okay. And they get that order right, do they?
He got that right. That's actually really good, but people sell a lot of less quality hanging baskets a lot more cheaply.
Okay. Well, look, we know that...
All I'm saying is a lot of things that my dad has invented haven't necessarily been successful.
Including you.
Including me, and probably including Volsport as well.
Well, no, let's not give up on Volsport, but can I just say something about your dad? He sounds like a nice bloke. I think we know that there's a few...
What do you want to say about my dad?
Okay, there's a few thousand people who'd get this podcast, right? I mean, it'll be down on the north, because it'll probably say in the little blurb, James isn't here this week, hosted by Merrick Larwood, so it's not going to be as many downloads as normal, but let's say there's 2,000 people.
They've stopped listening by now.
Well, if there is any... Let's say 1,000 people are listening, wouldn't it be amazing if we could get, like, 100 of them to go on this website and buy one of those... pill cutters, and just that would make your dad's day, and probably free up some space so you could start watching TV in your house again or something.
Well, then he would think it was suspicious.
Okay.
And then he'd find the link back. He'd find somewhere, me talking about it.
Oh.
He'd listen to this and he'd say, "What are you making? You making a joke about me, son? Did you ever come back to this house again?" And then every time I said, "Mum, Dad, I'm thinking about I might come home for the weekend." "I'm sorry, son. Your room's full of pill cutters. You can't come in. There's no room for you anymore." "Oh. What about my other brothers? They're allowed home." "I don't care about you. I don't care about you anymore." And on that note, should we play a song?
Yes.
It's your turn, isn't it?
Is it? No, I had a horrible Amy Winehouse.
Well, she's not horrible. Give her a chance.
Well, all right. She's a nice person.
She was a nice person.
Was a nice person. Well, who knows? When people are listening to this, they might... Well, she's not going to come back, but, I mean, I don't know, they might have thought this was made before her death. I don't know, whatever I'm talking about. Sorry.
Well, we should have really gone to a song earlier, because Josh just kicked
that was a great segment. I thought that was... fascinating. That was really interesting.
Well,
thank you, Marek.
And here is something that I feel my love for my father will last, like this song, Forever by Haim. Yes, that was... Well, we're talking about whether it's Haim or Haim.
I believe it's Haim. Haim.
Well, we'll have to get them.
Well, it's a Jewish word, so I'm going to just take authority on it and say, yeah, it's Haim.
Okay. Well, well done to them. They've done a lovely song there, a lovely pop song.
It's nice. I hadn't heard that song before, but it was, yeah, they're nice.
I saw them on Jules Holland's Hootenanny.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of years ago for New Year's Eve. And they were really rocking it out.
Were you watching it on New Year's Eve?
Yeah, watching it on...
You were like, I'm at home.
On television.
Watching Hootenanny.
Yeah, I always stay in New Year's Eve because it's horrible.
Hate humanity.
I can't think of anything worse. I went for the millennium. Back in 2000.
Yes.
15 whole years ago.
Wow, that's scary, isn't it? I remember it very clearly.
I went to the celebration on the Thames, which was like hell had been reborn. I remember standing by Cleopatra's Needle, and an elderly, sophisticated-looking, well, semi-sophisticated-looking lady.
For you, it's all relative.
Having to squat and have a piss because she couldn't hold it. And there were no toilets nearby, and it was so degrading. And I was more upset about the fact that the degraded look on her face, rather than the puddles swelling across the street.
I was
second golden river to match the Thames, flowing, throwing through my trainers and into my socks.
You're a poet. I was in Cuba for a millennium.
Oh, right. Well done. You win. What were you doing there?
I went out with, these two friends of mine are a little bit older than me. And we.
Oh, yeah. Abducted. You abducted?
Yeah, I was abducted. Taken to Cuba and forced to have sex with prostitutes.
What?
Well, I wasn't forced to, but I wanted to fit in.
Oh my God! Are you serious?
Yeah.
Did your wife know about this?
Yeah. I sort of boast about it at dinner parties when I get drunk and stuff. Well, not boast, but it like comes out like.
Well, it's not a boast, is it? That's like.
It was a weird period in my life where.
Yeah, tell me about it.
I had read The Dice Man.
This is that book, Luke Reinhardt's A Dice Man. Every 18-year-old reads and thinks,
I'm going to live life like this, whatever.
Explain what The Dice Man is? Just a bloke who decides his life's quite boring, so he's just going to give six options on a dice and just choose whatever comes up.
Yeah, I wasn't actually rolling the dice or anything, but psychologically there was a bit that made sense to me, which was that when you grow up, you kind of like, say you grow up and you go, oh, I don't like Brussels sprouts, and then you never try Brussels sprouts again.
Anyway, I don't like Brussels sprouts, so I want to go and sleep with a prostitute.
Well, it was pretty much that was the link was in my brain was it was like I don't like Brussels sprouts, but the last time you tried Brussels sprouts you were like 6 years old. You've always carried that with you.
You slept with a prostitute. When you...
Just let me finish the story.
I'm getting confused.
No, well, letting me fill the gaps.
Listen
in.
To me, Josh. I'm getting confused whether
I'm
you
trying
eat,
to tell you about how
you
I slept
eating
with
Brussels sprouts is an allegory for.
It's not an allegory.
That's supposed to mean you slept with a prostitute when you're 6 years old.
No. What the point is that you make decisions when you're younger. You don't question them, mm-hmm. and then you get older, and you just. And the point for me was that I made a decision when I was younger that I wouldn't sleep with prostitutes, and that it was immoral and disgusting and mm-hmm. pathetic. And then it was like, well, do I really believe that? And I can only really, if I force myself to sleep with a prostitute, then I will know if that's how I genuinely feel. And then I came out the other side and I was like, yeah, no, I don't really like that.
Do you eat Brussels sprouts still or not?
I occasionally I don't like Brussels sprouts, but I still will try it. Okay, like I'll put some on my plate.
How do I know you're not sleeping with prostitutes?
Well, that's the big question. Yeah, the first time I slept with a prostitute was...
The first time? Oh, my God!
Was on a Martin McCutcheon music video. Do you remember Martin McCutcheon? Maybe that'll come up, one of our songs.
Martin McCutcheon?
Martin McCutcheon.
The one who was...
From EastEnders.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tiff. Tiff on EastEnders.
Yes.
And
I don't remember that part of the video.
Well, we were... My friend... was directing it, and we were...
Evan Bernard.
No, not Evan Bernard. Evan doesn't do that sort of thing. But a friend of mine was directing it. I was actually, like, his assistant or whatever at that time. Mm-hmm. And we were driving... It was out in Spain. We were shooting out in Spain. And then the local crew, as we were driving to the set one day, he was like, oh, that's the local whorehouse. Mm-hmm. So then the director kind of took me along after work. Like, we went, oh, yeah. So we went along... And we used our per diems, which for people not in the... You know, they give you money every day to kind of live on.
It's supposed to be for food, not for prostitution.
It's supposed to be for food, yes. So we used it for prostitution. Not only that, we got a receipt. Because we managed to get a receipt for the prostitutes. But I didn't enjoy it particularly.
Hang on a minute. You handed in a receipt to say that you've been
They gave us a receipt to pretend it was like alcohol, which is okay. But actually, that was money was went to the prostitute. But this, I should say something now. This is pre...
I think you shouldn't say anything.
I think this is... I just want to be very clear. This is pre kind of Eastern European sex slave. This is quite a long time ago. This is like 15, 16 years ago.
This is the 16th before. Century when prostitution was a really fine old trade.
It's just part of life. It was an economic choice that some women made, like not because they were abused or had horrible lives or whatever. I mean, it's not ideal, of course. I wouldn't, but the point was it was they it just wasn't as... when I see back now, I feel bad about it. But it wasn't like that. It was like this person had made a choice. We had a nice chat. I didn't actually even want to sleep with her, the truth be told. And what happened was that my friend went in there. He'd obviously done this kind of thing before. And he was like looking at people, like looking them in the face and making judgments on them.
He's the bad guy. The friend's the bad guy.
Yeah, and he was like... But he was like judging them physically, you know. And I
I'm the innocent good guy.
I was 24 years old, 23 years old at the
Most people at 23 or 24 year olds cannot drive. Still living at home, they're incapable of making their own decisions.
And I was looking at, and I didn't want to look at anybody because I didn't want to judge them physically like that. But he was like going, like he was like going into people's face, like really sort of like assessing them physically, right? And I was sitting at the bar by myself, like not wanting to, like I can't tell him because I didn't want to judge them like that. And then this woman, the first woman who came up to me and actually talked to me was this Brazilian lady, and she wasn't really very attractive, but she sort of talked to me. And then, like, for about 5 minutes, and she was friendly and everything, and then she was like, do you want to go up to the room? And I just didn't... I didn't want to, like, hurt her feelings. So so I said, yeah, okay. Like, but I just... But I wasn't really attracted to her. It's just that I didn't want to sort of say, oh, I don't really fancy you that much.
Yeah.
So I you know, so that's what... So, yeah, that's what I did.
Most criminals involved in bank jobs, murder... burglaries, crime. A lot of it, if you ask them, they generally did it because they didn't want to hurt someone's feelings. And that is a perfectly legitimate excuse.
But it was.
Well, I think you've really. I'll be interested to see what people think about that. I mean, it's quite.
It's a revelation. Did you know that?
I never told you that.
I never told you that story. Well, yeah, no, there's some more prostitute stories. But
what?
Well, but this is a different friend. This look, it was three. There's a total of four prostitute stories. But it's like, wow. It was all within like this 2 month period. I read The Dice Man. I was, that book affected me, and I was like, I made moral judgments myself and for my life. And then it was like, I'm gonna break all these rules, and I'm just gonna see what's what. And then and then I calmed down. And I was like, oh, you know, and I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it. I thought, oh, this will make me interesting.
So all children, when they read Little Red Riding Hood, do you think that's how a lot of old ladies get killed?
I have always been too easily affected by whatever I'm reading or watching or whatever.
Have you ever been hypnotised?
No, I don't think I can be hypnotised. I think I'm too much of a control freak. They've never tried it, but I suspect I would never be able to be hypnotised. Because that's why I've never taken drugs or anything.
A lot of people think they can be hypnotised.
No, I'm pretty sure I can't be, because I can't even see, like, you know those pictures which have got two, where you're meant to see a boat come out of the weird squiggly
magic
lines.
Magic eye.
I can't do that. I've got a very figurative brain. Am I even using the right word there? A very simple brain. I don't think I could be hypnotised. I can't see those magic eyes. My brain works in a very linear fashion, unfortunately.
Are you a robot?
Do you think that sent here from the future?
If someone said to you...
To not like Brussels sprouts and sleep with prostitutes?
They've just said to you, by the way, we thought we'd tell you on your 40th birthday that you are a robot program.
I think I could be like in Daryl. You remember Daryl?
Yeah,
film?
The 80s film. D.A.R.Y.L.
Is that the proper
really,
way of
saying it? Really rubbish 80s film that about 6-7 years ago was on every single East Holidays.
Oh, was it? Okay, well, that's a great... So maybe like I have a something in my brain. Like I could have a chip or something in my brain. I think my body is flesh because it's failing.
Okay. So maybe you are like Daryl because... I never really liked Daryl either.
But you were forced to hang out with him as your career.
That section was... That's almost like the revelation section in the Bible.
Well, we found
out a lot about Josh, and a lot of listeners are really wondering whether they still like him, whether they're going to keep... And what's he going to say next? It's only quarter past five. It's a whole 45 minutes of the dark stories of
Howie.
Josh Howie. Has he murdered someone? has he fled from a traffic accident? We're going to find out soon. Why not... Is it all plugged in?
It's plugged in. Shall I press shuffle?
Yes, press shuffle and then...
And just go straight into the song, will it?
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Lana Richie, singing with the Commodores there. Easy. and it is now Sunday evening. So I wonder how Lionel Richie's feeling now. You a fan, Lionel Richie fan? That was a great link.
That was good. That was much better than the prostitute link, which we got.
We're not talking about.
Sorry, but I know we've been told off by the producer.
We're talking about nice things now.
I'd like to apologise for that section. I apologise. I'm sorry about that. I don't know. Didn't really mean to get into
We
that.
Must forgive you for your past.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And look to the future.
Doctor Future, yes. Lionel Richie, I wasn't a big fan, but my friend dragged me along for his 40th to Lionel Richie in the park. Was it last year, the year before, in Hyde Park in London?
I don't know.
And it was like, oh my God, this guy sings a lot of songs that I've heard of. It's like you don't realise you're a Lionel Richie fan until you're presented with Lionel Richie singing his greatest hits. And you're like, oh, wow, OK, that's a Lionel Richie song, that's Lionel. The funny thing was about it that he finished on, or he encored on...
Dancing on the Ceiling.
No, on All Night Long. All night long, all night. And it was like... And
then Bombolite said to Moja.
Yeah, so he encored on...
Oh, Jumbo Jumbo, we chapati, ooh, we go. Oh, Jumbola, so Jumbolite said to Moja.
You're gonna let me finish this.
Oh, Jumbo Jumbo, that's what it says, and all night long.
And he was like, so all night long. And then he was like, okay, thank you very much. We've been told we've got to go now. It was like 11 o'clock on the dot.
That's like parents with bedtimes, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's funny because he was singing a song about called All Night Long.
Oh, I didn't even get that. Yeah,
and then it wasn't all night long. It wasn't even the start of the night. It was a good. I preferred your bit about. I mean, that's real life. That's what happened. But I preferred your bit about Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. I thought that was clever.
It's not that clever. It's just links. It's just what it is. It's my neural pathways forming links. That's all thoughts are. It's basically...
Don't dismiss your cleverness like
electric,
that,
Marek. Electric links for neural pathways.
You should be proud of it. That was a very funny...
It's like
nice.
A web. It's like the interweb for the brain.
But you've got a great brain. And it was really nice. I thought that was really clever.
You can never know what if anyone's got a great brain or not.
I can pretty much see yours from here.
Who are the great brains of the 21st century, please? Who would you think?
Apart from Einstein and all that.
Is there anyone now you think that could? Will they be remembered
for
nostalgically?
Just for their brain.
For what they've done artistically or any real.
Apart from James Acaster.
Apart from James Acaster?
Not
comics, as in
no
real.
Real human beings with a great brain. Well, you tell me, I can't think.
Jeremy Paxman, I like.
He's got a great brain.
Yeah.
Do you really like Paxman?
I find him fascinating. I think he rubs up people along the wrong way, but I can't help but watch him.
Okay. I don't think he's got a great brain, though.
Yes, he has. Well, tell me why not, first of all, because I think he's proved himself enough in the past.
Well, I'm sure he's got a good brain. I just don't know if it's a great brain. That's all I'm saying.
Let's talk about what you see, what you think
what
is
qualities?
A great brain.
Well, isn't it like genius? I don't know if this is going to get funny. Do people want funny stuff?
Not talking about funny. Why are you obsessed with being funny?
Because James Acaster, who you're replacing, is really
I'm
funny.
I'm not replacing him. I'm just standing in.
I mean, you're standing in, I know.
I'm keeping the seat warm.
Keeping it warm. And he's really, really funny. I haven't listened to the show myself, but I know. But his stand-up's funny. He's a funny guy.
How do you know? What's your obsession with looks? Your obsession with... You need to relax,
funniness.
Man.
Well, I don't want people to be tuning in and then getting angry because we're not being as funny as James Acaster.
You just put this thing into people's heads when you say this thing.
Well, I just don't, because they're probably sitting and go, oh, James much better, and then they...
They just go, off.
Off, that's it. You think they... But what happens if they can't turn it off? If someone's... They're in a coma
They're
or
in
something.
Prison. They're in
this,
a prison.
This is what they play. Do you think they'll be allowing this to go into prison? Can you download podcasts from prison?
I don't know what the rules are. Someone said to me that one of their family members are in prison, and all they do is just sit around playing... On computer games over and over again.
What, so Angry Birds?
No, like Grand
Crush.
Theft Auto, I imagine, and stuff like that.
Oh, just practicing, really.
Practicing when they get out.
Yeah, exactly. That's a joke.
The great brain. It's not all about jokes.
Okay, fine, let's talk about the great brain then. What makes a great brain?
This is what I hate about all these comedian podcasts. Comedians banging on about. Just trying to be fun. Just talk.
Let's just be human
talk,
beings.
Just trying to have a punchline in of it. And them talking about going to gigs. Oh, did this gig and did gig. And then we went and did this and on the train. It's up on the train. It's up at the hotel. Shut up.
So you just want to be interesting. Let's talk. Okay, fine. You
want
to have
I
a
don't
proper,
want to be. I want to just.
You
want
to have a conversation. Okay, let's have a conversation. But just a nice. And even if it goes nowhere, then we're totally cool. Then yeah.
What's wrong with you?
There's meant to be a level of entertainment here.
How do you know what other people find entertaining?
Apart from my 13 years of sometimes managing to entertain people.
I'm questioning your authority. I'm questioning your authority
okay,
on everything.
You're right. I've got nowhere, but I know I would have got less far by talking about brains and the qualities that go into making a great one.
I would have found this interesting. There's a podcast about the great brain. So I thought, oh, that person.
And then someone could talk about Paxman as their example of the great brain.
I think he's an interesting man, yes.
Yeah, it's an interesting brain, a fine brain. But the great brain? Who's a great brain? Let's find a great brain. Okay, let's talk film directors. I can talk about film director great brains. Scorsese has a great brain.
Yeah, but Scorsese, his recent films aren't that good.
And so what? He used to have a great brain.
That's what happens.
That is what happens. It's called...
It's fleeting.
It's fleeting at the moment. It's gone.
Time is fleeting. As a great friend of mine once said. Time is fleeting.
Who was that friend of yours? Was that Hawkins?
It's actually from The Time Warp. And a friend of mine's doing a play, and he has to say it in the play, time is fleeting. It's a long story. I won't really go into it. Right, okay, we'll talk about it.
Okay. This better end up with some prostitutes.
As part of me I teach this drama group on Tuesday afternoons, which is for people, for basically special needs people, adults.
Great brains, less great brains, normal brains.
I think some of the most fascinating brains.
Okay, and do you do this for money or for
a minimal
charity?
Amount?
It's, but really, it's for a charity. It's what you get away, what you get from it more.
And we're doing a play with them at the moment.
Okay.
And one of them has to say, time is fleeting. And it makes me laugh the way he said it. And it stuck in my brain. So I said, time is fleeting.
What, does he say it in a sort of...
No, it's just funny.
It's just funny, is it? It's not like you're picking on it.
You talk about comedy the whole time. You should go... If you want to do something worthwhile,
yeah.
Go and volunteer for some sort of group for people...
With special needs.
Yeah.
And then laugh at them because they say things the wrong way.
No, he's not laughing at people.
Well, you're just saying that you were laughing because he said
it
in a funny way.
No, I'm saying it's rewarding... Because you see genuine humour of people, innocent humour, people not trying to be funny, but actually being funny, and you get stuff back for them. They are funnier than most comics.
But because they're not trying to be funny. But it's laughing, but if they're not trying to be funny, then you're laughing at them.
No, it's very complicated. I've learned that life is very complicated.
And too fleeting.
Joss.
Oh, can I tell you a story about that?
What, go on then.
I got this girl I met at a party. This is obviously
here
back in the day. Chatted her up. And then I went up, and her dad was there because her dad was a limo driver. It was a
what
film
sort
party.
Of sick story is this?
Then she, anyway, I chatted her up, and then I went off, and then I spoke, and her dad was there. I said, can I get your number? Because I'd like to
Before
ask
we
your
do
daughter
this,
out.
I'd like to see how you chat. Pretend I'm the girl.
Yeah.
And give me an example of how you would chat me up, please.
I must have been drunk because I never normally chat people up.
He's handsome. This is me talking to you.
Oh, he's got nice hair.
Oh, he's handsome. He'll look nice, but I can't imagine what he looked like bald.
I can't remember what my chat up line was, but it might have been like a neg. I might have like some, because this is like pre game. I've read the game,
but before then
I would do that. I know, but I might have said
this is the game is some weird book, isn't it?
Yeah, where you have to
play.
It's like it's pickup artists where it's a bunch of loser geeks, basically like trying to chat up women by using NLP and stupid methods and stuff. But one of the methods is this whole negging thing where you basically put someone down to make them feel insecure. The idea being they're going to be more interested in you. And that's what I used to do naturally. Anyway, so I might have done something like that. All I know is she didn't really take to me that much.
A bully?
No. Okay, fine. Whatever it was, I was a dickhead, right? I'm still am a dickhead, but I was much more of a dickhead back then. And so she didn't really like. We didn't really hit it off, but I saw her dad. She pointed out her dad, so I went up to him and said, "Can I get your number? Because I'd like to ask your daughter out."
What?
Yeah.
To the dad?
Yeah, because I knew I was a bit drunk. And
did you neg the dad? Did you say, "Hey, old man"?
No, I was actually very respectful to him. And I was very.
And did he give you the daughter's number?
He did give. He gave me that then because he lived with her. Like she was like 21, but she was still living at home. She told me that when we were chatting. So anyway, next day I called up and I go, "Hi, it's Josh." And she goes, "Josh." And I go, "No, Josh." She goes, "Oh, okay." And I was like, "Oh, I met you last night." She said, "Yeah, great." And I said, "Well, I was just hoping maybe we could go out for a date or something." And she was like, yeah, yeah. And she was really excited about it, which is kind of confusing because, like I said, we hadn't finished it that great. But I was hoping,
dear.
Yeah. So we met up like a few days later outside Tube, Notting Hill.
A wrong identity story coming
up. It is a wrong identity story. And she rocked up and I went up to her and I was like, hey. And she looked at me like she was like properly confused. And I was like, it's Josh. And she goes, Josh? And I was like, no, I'm Josh. And it turns out that night that she'd, after I'd gone off from this party, she'd like hooked up with a guy called Joss.
He sounds nice.
Yeah.
Tell me about Joss.
He probably didn't do any of that negging. And then I said, well, look, you're here. Why don't we go to the pub around the corner and at least have a drink because you're here. And then about an hour later, she went, oh yeah, I remember you now. She couldn't remember, and then she was like, oh, I remember you now. And then she was not happy, you know. But actually, as it was, we did have sex.
Wow. I think it is now time to go to the next song. This is called Time to Pretend by MGMT. Cool Runnings. Yes, 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 yes. They should have really been saying rather than yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm. It's a good song though.
My iPod's been surprisingly well behaved.
Absolutely.
As opposed to last time I was on, when it played Razor Light and some Elton John.
nothing wrong with that, mate.
Rocket Man.
Hey, that's a good song.
You ever thought of going to space, Josh?
Yes, I would like to go to space. Yeah, sure. But how would I do it though?
I was speaking. Well, apparently it's quite easy these days.
You've got to get a couple million, 20 million quid. Is it?
Well,
the latest thing.
There's a thing where you can sign up for a mission to Mars.
Mars.
A one-way ticket.
No, I have things keeping me here on Earth.
But some people would genuinely sign up for this. It was like a death sentence.
No, it's not a death sentence. It's a life sentence, but a life in a small space, i.e., living in North London. With the rent, as it is.
But with the Russians, you know, they test on astronauts. Mm. They make them sit in, about four or five of them, sit in like a tube. I mean, this is just me trying to retell a story quite badly.
Okay.
But in my head, they
bring back a lot of memories to your stand-up.
They get the Russian astronauts in some big sort of, like a tube. Yeah,
a tube, like a submarine.
Submarine, okay. And they seal it off for 50...
Like a spaceship, almost.
Like a spaceship that's not in space. I could have just said that.
Yeah.
Would have been a lot easier.
Tube-like.
And they see whether they go mad or not, because you don't know.
Yeah, you don't know who's going to crack. Do you think you would go mad?
I think I've already gone mad.
And that's without no metal tubes required or even close proximity to other Russians.
But normally there's lots of different people from different nationalities on the...
on that thing.
On the crew.
Yeah, but then you could learn a new language. Would that be good? That'd be annoying because then you couldn't use that new skill.
It's just the air. It's just the air.
The smelly, farty air.
Stink.
Stinky. Yeah, but you get used to it, don't you? Ask your girlfriend.
Josh Howie. I mean, Josh has been really cruel today. Really,
I'm sorry.
Really cruel.
You know what? I have been a cruel. It's just because I just sort of expect it from you somehow, and then that brings it out of me. It's like a first strike thing.
Now, having three children, you must be going through the weekend birthday party.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, they have three kids, so the eldest at school, so that's 30 birthdays through the year. It's going to get worse and worse as the other two start going into like nursery and school as well.
And what happens if you get two birthday parties on the same day?
If the mother and father are still together, that's where that becomes very useful. You have to split it up. One of you has to go one of you has to go the other.
But if kids are competing, if you get...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, they tend to do joint birthdays, and the really lucky parents. Today, this morning's birthday party I went to...
You went to already this...
Yeah, 10 till 12 this morning. The two that went to a birthday party yesterday, right? And then this morning there was a birthday party. It was 10 to 12, but it was three of the kids at the school together. So that's good. So you can knock it out, bang, bang, bang. Three of them, boom, done in one party.
What
happens? And then there's
the
another
birthday party
this afternoon.
Is it the same as all when we're kids? Is it like pass the parcel, sleeping lions, musical statues?
No,
it's always fixed. Always fixed so the birthday kid wins.
I know, it's disgusting, isn't it? So unfair.
Do they still do that shit?
No, they don't, actually. What they do now is they pay for an entertainer. And these guys are pretty good. They're dead behind the eyes. They make quite good money. I think it's like 250 a pop. Fit a couple of those in a day. And
250 quid.
The one I went to last week was called Mr. Disco. He was for the elder child, more like an 8 year old. And then he had a big, basically had a big screen, and it was like he would play songs, and it would teach the screens would teach the kids how to do the dance moves, like those computer games, you know, when you see in the arcades where they would be jumping along to try and hit it. It's like that, but you'd have like 50 kids doing that. And then he would do a few games with the kids where, and it was really annoying because every time he'd split the girls and the boys up, yeah. And then which is unnecessary. You don't need to bring gender difference into 8 year olds and stuff.
Okay.
But he split them up, and then he would do a game like you'd have to kick a balloon in the air, how many you could do in a row, and then he'd give him points through the thing, and he kept on giving them the same points, even though it was like apparent to everybody that the boy had kicked the balloons many more times. And successfully in the air than the girl.
It sounds like Mr. Disco believes in equality.
Well, I believe in equality, but I also believe that, you know, if you have in fairness, if you've won, you genuinely won, you've won. You can't force that through.
Maybe Mr. Disco was trying to right the wrongs of many, many years
society.
Of misogyny.
Maybe.
And he thought, if I can just do it in the form of disco to these young kids, then I'm standing up to the wrongs of my ancestors and making this world a better place and giving each of those kids, no matter their gender, an equal chance.
Well, I think what he should do is he should have split up the boys and the girls. And I mean, he should have had it all mixed in the two different teams and then just done it fair and show that it will be that excellence will out.
Mr. Disco is a good name. What was Mr. Disco's costume?
It was dressed as an old man.
What?
With his hair parted down the middle.
That's terrible. I met Mr. Disco.
He wasn't a young, happy dude. No, he wasn't. He was old, and he had a big... He basically, all he did was put a parting in his middle of his hair.
I'm going off him now. He sounds good. And who, on paper?
There's lots of them. There's Mr. Amazings. There's Mr.
Let me go through what they do.
There's lots of Mr.'s. Usually it's Mr. I don't want to say there's sexism within the child entertainment
Mr.
industry.
Mr. Amazing, what does he do? What's his act?
He does, and there's Mr. He's mostly a bubble guy, Mr. Amazing. He's all about the bubbles. He's a bubble person.
And what does he do? Does he do the bit when he smokes cigarettes and blows them into the bubble like it was on an episode of Paul Daniels once?
Yeah, he does do that. There's smoke. There's lots of cool things like that. But he is really dead behind the eyes. I've got to be honest. He's really just doesn't care. And the thing is also...
Maybe it's all the fairy liquid has glazed his eyes.
I've seen it about 10 times now, and it's just... It makes me want to kill myself.
Is it amazing?
No, it's definitely not amazing. And also, then there's a big thing where they stand in the middle of... Like, he creates a massive bubble around the child.
Sounds good to me.
Like, he's got a big hoop that they sort of stand in the middle of.
And they all disappear.
That would be amazing. But the thing is, Mordy, my son, never gets picked. And he's always sitting there, like, the best child. Like, he always sits there, puts his hands up, and, you know, other kids are running around. Because they say, don't get up, don't poke the bubbles, don't burst them. And Morty always
Mr. Amazing
sits there.
Won't pick him.
Yeah, but still, it's always the pushy kids who get picked. It's very upsetting for me.
Okay, Mr. Amazing,
he's off the list.
Who's next?
There's an animal guy. There's an animal...
What, a werewolf?
the guy.
I'm not going to put Mr. Werewolf
for
mine.
He brings in like snakes and crocodiles and stuff. He's pretty good. He's,
what? Real crocodiles?
Yeah, real little crocodile. He keeps it in a box at the back. And then you go and stroke it and spiders and all of that.
He must be insured up to the hilt then. Cause
I don't know.
If that still got teeth, that crocodile.
Or maybe he's pulled them out. I don't know. Maybe it's an old crocodile. Do they lose their teeth? Do they all fall out? Do they become harmless?
Who knows what happens to crocodiles when they
go out? If only we had a
normally
great
in the brain. Wild, they would be killed, but we can't tell in protection.
Now they just entertain children.
His name is what? Mr. Animal?
No, I don't know. I can't remember what his name is.
Croc Box.
It might be John or something.
He's not going to put that down.
Who
are you going to get in? Mr. Amazing,
Mr.
Disco, or John?
John, yeah.
We booked John for your birthday party.
Yeah. So we've just booked our birthday party for Mordy's sixth birthday. We're very happy this year because we found a joint one. And it doesn't even matter that they're not mates at school. It's just like, we don't care. We're sharing the costs. We're sharing the hassle of a birthday.
And who have you booked in?
We have got... I'm not sure what it is because the other parent booked it. We're not very good with this stuff, but it's a wilderness like thing. Teaches them how to make fires and do stuff in the wilderness. So sort of Bear Grylls of the child entertainment circuit,
yeah.
Survival skills. That's pretty cool, eh?
So He takes them out into the woods.
Takes them into... This is what we're paying someone to take our beautiful, innocent children into the woods.
Who is he, Mr... What's his name? Mr what?
Mr Pedo.
I'm not going to be Mr... I'm not going to book an act on Mr Pedo.
That would be a bad decision.
Jimmy Jungle, we call him like that.
Jimmy... That would be a... I'll tell him that. I genuinely can't remember the guy's
Let's
name.
Let's try and think of some names.
Jimmy Jungle. Brilliant. God, you've got a great brain. You have a great brain. Jimmy... You do. I love your synapses.
Jimmy Jungle.
Jimmy Jungle. Willie Wilderness.
Yeah, Willie Wilderness is a bit...
not good.
You just call him Wilderness.
Ooh, okay.
I mean, none of these are that good.
No.
But Snake Karma. That sounds like something else altogether. Yeah,
this isn't good. When you start trying to
What
think
survival skills does he teach them then? How to make a fire.
How to make a fire. And I, to be honest, I haven't looked into it. All I said was, how much do I have to give you to the other mum?
Okay.
Say, like, how much? And she was like, oh, it's like, it'd be like 150 each. I was like, yep, done. Boom.
Did you know if you put a bit, if you want to start a fire,
and
you've got some chewing gum, you put the foil between two batteries and the flame comes out?
I did not know that. Is that true?
It's true. I learned it. I had to do a pilot for something that never got made, and I had to skin a rabbit and pull its guts out.
Yeah.
Which was horrible because, I'll tell you what's horrible about it. It's not the actual skinning it, it's the sound.
What does it sound like?
It just sounds...
Is it one of those things that only sounds like that could sound
it
like?
It sounds like...
ripping skin off the body.
And I didn't... And I put... You have to cut... Basically, this is horrible for vegetarians and people who don't like death. Yeah. When you hold the rabbit up and you just slice it right down the middle and you pull your finger... Put your fingers and pull the guts out.
Yeah.
I put my fingers into...
the fatty.
No, the intestine. And break the intestine. So it was just this... rabbit shit. I mean, when it comes out of rabbits,
but pellets though.
No. This was like when it comes out. You think these? If anything, I don't mind rabbit shit.
Yeah, all of this different shit out there.
The least offensive.
Least offensive of the shits.
When you burst open a rabbit's intestines, you realise they're just the same as all the rest, if not worse. Because the disappointment
of being a big old turd in there.
It was just a mess, and I thought it was going to be really lovely pellets. You know, we can use them as a potpourri.
You
maybe.
Were excited about it. You were like, "Let's get the knife in that gut."
Yeah, are you going to play a song now? Is it your turn?
Yeah, it's my turn. Yeah,
let's do it. Let's see what song we're going to have now. It's exciting again. I never listened to any of the music on this, so this is I have to remember my code. I'm getting flustered. Okay, here we go.
And that was Kings of Leon with Arizona.
Boring.
It was pretty boring.
I'm really disappointed with my iPod stuff, because the problem is I like one or two songs on the album. And then I just put the whole album on. And normally when I ever decide to listen to music, which is very rare, because I don't trust music, I just will spend a lot of my time just fording through the shuffle. Just like, nope, don't like the song, don't like the song, don't like the song. And then there's about four songs I like. One of them being Ill Communication, Beastie Boys, Sabotage. So we got one song that I like. Yeah.
I mean, that is in many ways the predicament a lot of us have with life. Is that we
too much choice.
We cannot choose how we are judged, Josh. We cannot choose. It is left in the hands of others. I think I should be a philosopher, do you think?
Absolutely. I think that... what other philosophies would you add to the you cannot choose theorem?
I think hamburgers at lunchtime are very enjoyable.
Not dinner?
No, because you've got the whole day to digest it then, to digest it.
Well, what about like sleeping? Wouldn't you like to sleep digesting the burger?
No, you should always have a light meal before... You go to bed.
This is how you remain in such good shape.
No, I've got progressively in worse shape. I found the last 3 years of aging very, very difficult. Very difficult indeed.
It's been you're not the same though.
The amount of effort you take not to put on weight. My family naturally put on weight, I think, so it's very
even though they're sort
me.
Of constantly moving these boxes of pill cutters and stuff.
If you missed earlier, you missed about halfway through the show.
Do you genuinely believe that anyone is still listening at this point?
It's a tragic story of how my dad lost his money on
not his money, your money, mate, your money.
Why is it my money?
Because it should go to you. It could have that money could be
how can you think about that? There's so many things I want to question you on today.
You don't
simply wrong.
That you don't see anything. There's no ownership of what he's got.
no, you shouldn't do. You shouldn't have ownership of the thing. You live your life. I don't think of my dad as some sort of fountain of money.
But yeah, but that's. But does he lend you money? Do you still get a bit of money from him? Does he occasionally help you out?
No, he doesn't. No.
But did he help you up until the point that he wasted all of that money on this ill?
I think
scheme to cut pills.
I think he was trying to make millions so he could have
give you the life,
give everyone his family the life of freedom, just a chance to have a home, somewhere to live, somewhere to call your own. You know, is that so much to ask? Is it too much to ask? Not so much to ask.
You should give the name of the website so people can buy those pills.
Dr. Foster's PPC. One of the worst names for a website for any product. Completely unrelated to the product. No reason.
Does
would actually come up in your spot.
Does he know
spot.
Dr. Foster? Does he know how? Why Dr.
I'll
Foster?
I'll tell you why. This okay. is the story.
Oh, God. We've got 4 minutes, 3 minutes. It better be a quick
2
one.
Minutes.
Let's do
As
it.
I grew up, there were two fields around the back of my house, I saw before we moved to the Isle of Wight. The farmer across the road died, leaving these two fields empty. There were holiday camps near my house. The people at the holiday camps were going to buy the fields. My dad was worried that the back of our house would turn into a caravan site. Mm. He bought these two fields and not having enough money thought, I'm going to turn it into an activity centre. He made them into a golf range and lied about the distances and put netting up at the back so people could play golf at the activity centre. What the only person who came every day and bought a basket of 50 golf balls to hit out on this golf range was called...
Dr. Foster!
That is the link. And that is the reason why he called his website, Dr. Foster's PPC. I wish this Dr. Foster character had never come to play golf at the golf range, because then my dad might have chosen a name like Alan's Pill Cutters, which is a lot better than Dr. Foster's PPC.
Do you think that him and Dr. Foster had a thing going on?
Well, we can find out.
Why would he come every day?
We can find if I ever get asked to do this again, which on today's show will probably be a no. But next week, you can tune in, and it is Angela Barnes presenting.
Very funny.
With guest Zoe Lyons. Thank you to Josh Howie. Please go and see his show at the Soho Theatre from the...
21st to the 25th of whatever month we're in, April.
April.
9 o'clock. Please do come.
And tickets, you can get them on the Soho, what's it called, website?
Soho Theatre. And yeah, please do come. And there will be no mention of prostitutes.
Well, let's hope so. But, you know, you can never be too sure these days. Okay, I'm going to play you out with another song, really smoothly. It's Blackbird by the Beatles song. This is the piano version by a bloke called Brad Meldow. It's very good.